from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Oakland, where we are continuing to follow the developments of a fire that killed at least 36 people at a warehouse that was used by artists. Fire investigators with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives are still on the scene. The ATF is helping the city's fire department in determining the cause of the devastating blaze. Special Agent in Charge Jill Snyder says they've been able to rule some things out.
There's no evidence that was intentionally set. There's no evidence of a lightning strike. So they'll look for sources of ignition. Sources of ignition could be any kind of electrical appliance that's in there, and they'll examine all of those potential sources of ignition for the fire.
Roughly 30 federal agents are working the case. We're going to turn now to homelessness. A third of all community college students are either homeless or housing insecure, meaning a slight change in circumstances could leave them homeless. That's according to a new study out from San Diego State University. Now, even before the study came out, college administrators across the state were seeing this trend develop, and they were trying to figure out how to address homelessness among the student population. Joining me now to talk about this is KQED reporter Laura Clivens. She's covered this issue in depth for the California Report. She joins us now. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
So what are the latest numbers for homeless college-aged students?
It's a tough thing to pin down, actually. There are a few numbers that we can really look at. One of them is 56,000 nationally, and that is through the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. That came out a few years ago, that number. Then there have been some other studies that came out as well. This summer, we had one that came out of the CSUs, and that said likely 1 in 10 students who attend the CSUs experiences homelessness or housing insecurity. And then most recently on Monday, another study came out about community colleges in California. And from their sample, it was 1 in 3.
So we have somewhere between a tenth to a third of college students who could be homeless. Is there anything consistent within this population? Essentially, what is the face of this population?
So one expert that we spoke with, Rashida Crutchfield, she's at CSU Long Beach. She says it's very important for people to understand there's a huge range of what the face looks like. Oftentimes, it's invisible. So it's someone who's sitting next to you in class, and you don't even realize that they are homeless. And so that person could be living in a car. They could be crashing on people's couches for a few months. They could be staying in a shelter or an Airbnb. There's really quite a range. And it's all genders, all races, all ethnicities.
I understand that you spent a day in the life of a young homeless woman, a woman named Brittany. Tell us a little bit about her and how she keeps it together.
It's been amazing to spend some time with this young woman named Brittany. Her name's Brittany Jones. She goes to Laney College in Oakland. Brittany's day starts out, she's sleeping on BART, right? As it opens, she gets on, and then rush hour comes. There are crowds, people are looking at her. She doesn't want to be sleeping. She'll get off, go to her college campus, get some food, go to class, spend some time in public libraries, go to her storage unit, which is really a home base for her, where she'll spend maybe even 3 hours a day, and then figure out some plan for the evening. I want to play you just a little bit of her talking about some time she spent sleeping outside.
I slept at the pier last night. I guess the bridge changed colors now, like the Bay Bridge. Like in a horrible situation, you can see like the beauty in it. So that was cool. Like even though I'm like homeless and stuff, last night was cool because like I got to like see some more stuff I'd never seen.
So you asked me, how does she get through her day? And it's because she has this attitude where she is so positive to herself on the inside because she really has such a small support network around her.
Laura Clivens, thank you.
Thank you.
You're going to be able to hear more about Brittany and what college and university officials are trying to do about people like her on a special edition of the California Report magazine that's airing later this week. It's all part of the SF Homeless Project, a region-wide project covering homeless issues. Finally, today, LA Mayor Eric Garcetti rode the subway yesterday. Now, that's not a huge deal in itself. The mayor says he likes to ride the metro, but he was doing it in an effort to assure the public after the revelation of a bomb threat targeting the Universal City Station. In response to the alleged terror threat, local law enforcement and the FBI staffed increased patrols yesterday. We spoke with Mayor Garcetti about balancing public safety and ensuring a sense of calm, and also about his ride on the Red Line.
You know, it was a great ride on the L.A. Metro system yesterday. I love riding the train. I try to do it as often as I can. And, you know, we get threats like this all the time, but usually with more time to kind of sniff them out and see if they're credible.
But is the message to potential terrorists this, that if a threat is made at a particular place, that the city or the county or the state, whoever the responding authorities are going to put a concentrated amount of energy and effort into what potentially might be a false flag?
Oh, I think it's important for people to see that we have the capability to react swiftly and strongly. Sometimes it might not be a hoax in the sense of somebody just trying to mess with us. It may be somebody trying to test us. And if the test shows that we have a strong ability to deploy quickly, that may discourage a future attack.
You are a big supporter of getting LA the Olympics in 2024. The dogs and the bag checks and the increased security. Is this what Los Angeles would look like in 2024 if the city receives the Olympics?
Well, in Los Angeles, we are experienced, whether it's the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys. I think we showed last year during the Special Olympics when we hosted the World Games. We know how to do this in a safe and secure environment. We don't lose all our freedoms. It doesn't turn into some sort of police state. We know how to do it in a safe and subtle way. When we hear about things, we immediately mobilize. And I, as mayor, wanted people to know that this system we believe is safe. And so I got on the trains and made sure people knew that I wasn't asking them to do something I wouldn't do myself.
And who rides it better, you or Antonio Villaraigosa?
Antonio has definitely many, many more miles. But, you know, I'm a few years younger.
Mayor Garcetti, thank you so much for joining us.
Always, John. Thanks. Take good care.
Support for the California Report comes from Wharton San Francisco, where executives can pursue an MBA immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access Wharton's globally connected network. Learn more at sfwharton.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, December 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.